We have three argued cases this morning. The first is number 21-1473, Intuitive Surgical Operations v. Auris Health. Mr. Schroeder.
Good morning, Your Honors. May I remove the mic?
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. The Board's decision holding unpatentable all claims of Intuitive 601 patent cannot be affirmed for two primary reasons. First, although it's undisputed that Intuitive 601 patent was the first to provide navigational steering guidance to address the problem of operator disorientation during an endoscopic procedure, and that nothing in the prior art taught this, the Board nonetheless held it was reasonable to infer that as a matter of ordinary creativity, this element would have been reasonable to infer. The Board's decision runs contrary to this Court's precedent in Arendi versus Apple, and the navigational steering guidance claimed in the 601 patent goes to the heart of the invention, is the advance over the prior art, and is in a complex technological area. And second, although Intuitive presented unrebutted evidence of secondary considerations from a co-inventor of the 601 patent and a developer of Intuitive's ION system, the Board relied on its own conjecture that ION's navigation guidance is outside the claims of the 601 patent, because other features of the ION contributed to its unexpected results and satisfied a long-felt but unmet need. I'd like to address these two issues in turn. First, on the Arendi issue, this Court in Arendi held that the Board missed...
Could I just ask you to talk about Arendi in the context of this case? Because what's missing?
Yes, Your Honor. So what is missing is navigational steering guidance to address the problem of operator disorientation. So the prior art, Ganatra, it simply shows sequencing guidance during the context of registration. Now, registration during an endoscopic procedure occurs before the system knows anything about how to correlate the human body in real world to the models of the human that were generated from CT scans.
So just to be clear, are you talking about the motivation to combine these two, or are you absolutely talking about a missing element that wasn't in either piece of prior art that the Board came up with on its own?
That's a great question, Aaron. I'm absolutely talking about a missing element and not a motivation to combine. And so if you look at the guidance provided during the actual procedure, so there's two separate concepts. There's registration, where the coordinate space of the human body is related to or correlated to the model space. That's one distinct concept. This invention and this feature is directed towards guidance during the actual operation, during navigation. Once those coordinate systems have been correlated, how do you provide steering guidance to an operator so that in case they get disoriented, so they know how to traverse? And if you look at the prior art in Ganatra, all that it provides is a tracking dot.
Arrows instead of dots, right?
It's not that simple, Your Honor. In Ganatra, it simply shows a dot, which will show where in that space you are located. But it does not provide steering guidance, because a dot on a two...
I mean, what's the difference? I mean, what is it besides putting arrows in instead of dots?
So it's more complicated than that, because you have to not only track your current location and orientation, but relate that to the model which was drawn, to the path along the model that was pre-planned.
And that's the other reference, SOPR, right?
No, Your Honor. So the Board expressly found SOPR's static pre-planned line did not provide the guidance that was claimed in the patent here. And that's because it was a pre-planned path that does not provide any orientation. And I know analogies are somewhat dangerous at times, but if you've ever had your phone, for instance, and you walk outside in an unfamiliar city, like happens to me every time I go to New York, and I can see a dot on a map, and I can see that the deli I want to is a couple blocks away, but I don't know what street I'm on, what direction I'm facing. And so what happens is you walk one direction, you see your dot move, and it's going the other way because you didn't realize your orientation. The claim guidance here provides steering guidance to the operator to tell them exactly how to traverse to get to the target location. So it is not simply a series of directions. It tells you how to steer to get there. And that is what the advance over the prior art was. Because if you looked at... if the operator gets disoriented, which is what is described in the background of the 601 patent, and as our inventor put in his declaration, the way that navigation had historically occurred was that a physician would study the patient's CT scans, would undergo years of extensive training so that they could understand just by looking at where at the picture from the camera where they were within the lines.
What's the missing element here? In Ganatra, as part of the registration process, you have the arrows.
Yes.
So you're saying it's not, the element's not present because the arrows were used for a different purpose?
That's correct, Your Honor. So in Ganatra, those arrows were providing the sequence. So the way Ganatra works is that the physician would operate the endoscope to a specific location, usually an easily identifiable location in the lung, say the first part where it branches off. And the physician would say, I know exactly where I am. System, I am right here in the patient. Mark that spot on the model. And then based on the pre-planned sequence that the physician came up with, the system would then say, hey, operator, you're supposed to go left first, and then you're supposed to come back. Then you're supposed to go right next, and you're supposed to come back. And then you're supposed to retract a little bit and then advance forward. And by doing that, then they could correlate the two models. But the system after that point, that was simply so the system knew where in the model the endoscope was. And it was only to provide that tracking dot. Nowhere did the prior art disclose providing a tracking dot and giving steering directions to the operator of an endoscopic system. And that is what is missing from the prior art. When you look at the navigation system...
Well, that would be anticipation.
That's correct. And the board had found in Ganatra that Ganatra did not anticipate. And the board had found that neither Ganatra nor Soper alone render this obvious. And so this was something that was indisputably nowhere within the prior art.
Well, I think the board, talking about at least the claim element 1E, goes through quite a detailed analysis citing expert testimony about how all of these limitations, I'm confused by the briefing here about the difference between elements and limitations, but maybe that's for another day. But it seems to me, I mean, the board heard what you were saying and responded in quite a bit of detail in terms of the pieces of prior art and how combined they taught this element. So, whereas on a de novo review, I don't know, maybe what you say might have some heft, but we're talking about substantial evidence review of the court's reading, of the board's reading of this prior art. So I think it's a tough sell, frankly.
I understand, Your Honor. And Arendi talked about, in context of a de novo review, this court's decision in Arendi said the board misapplied the law, this court's law on obviousness, when it used nothing more than common sense to supply an element that's missing. And that's why...
Yeah, but there were a lot of caveats. I mean, that is a broad proposition. I'm not suggesting you're misstating anything, but there's a lot more to Arendi. One, including, wasn't Arendi just one piece of prior art? There was no combination in Arendi. And, you know, the board, what the court said is, okay, we've got this problem with what the board did here, but there are ways... They didn't suggest that common sense and ordinary creativity could not be used. And one of the things they said, at least, is if you give a reasoned explanation. So I don't see what's missing in the board's analysis here. They didn't just use the words and say, we don't have to go any further. It's quite a detailed analysis of what their thinking was, right?
Your Honor, the board does spend significant analysis on the motivation to combine section and the hindsight section, but the part that's dealing with the missing element, that's the part that I'm focused on. Mm-hmm. And that part, this is after they've already concluded that Ganatra does not anticipate. And after footnote 5 on Appendix 37 concluded that Ganatra not only doesn't anticipate, but doesn't teach this either. And then they also conclude that Soper by itself does not teach this. And if you were to simply combine the two, Ganatra's registration process, where it did use arrows, and that's the
But where did they talk about common sense and creativity? I'm looking at that section, I think you are too, the missing element section on Appendix 38 through 43. And your concern is that they bumped up against Arendi because of their overuse of their misuse of common sense principle. So show me what they said that you're troubled by.
Yes, Your Honor. So the part that I'm focused on is this paragraph at the bottom of 42. And the language right above that, right, is where the board quotes KSR and has this reference to ordinary creativity. But then it's where they just say it's reasonable to infer from the teachings of Ganatra, that arrows used for guiding the endoscope from one registration target to the next along a pre-planned path could similarly guide the endoscope to a target of interest all the way around a pre-planned route is taught by Sopers. That final sentence on 42, that's the part that's entirely missing from the prior art. Nothing teaches that. The prior art simply talks about, I mean, it was difficult enough, as it was explained in Ganatra and Soper, simply to accurately place a tracking dot on a patient model, let alone provide guidance to an operator as to how to steer along, based on where that is in 3D space, correlating the human body to a model, and then to steer that, and to tell the operator steer left, steer right, up, down, forward, or back. That is the part that was missing from the prior art.
Your time's running out, so I know you wanted to mention the secondary consideration. So in that regard, let me just ask you, it seemed to me, if I'm recalling the right case, that the board relied predominantly on the fact that what you were claiming was new and different and yada-da was 3D and stuff that wasn't really a part of the claim here, the claims at issue here. What's your response?
Yes, Your Honor. So in Graham versus John Deere, the Supreme Court has urged the courts to pay attention to objective indicia but not obviousness because they guard against hindsight bias. And to your specific question, when the board looked at the product, the intuitive ion system, and there was unrebutted testimony as to how that operated. Dr. Dwindam provided the testimony.
No arrows, right?
Pardon me?
No arrows.
For the intuitive system? So the board's construction, Your Honor, for guidance requires graphical...
In the commercial product, which you relied on for secondary considerations, there are no arrows, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. The board's construction of guidance was graphical indicators such as vectors or arrows that point in the direction the endoscope is to travel. So it doesn't require arrows. These are examples of graphical indicators that point in the direction the endoscope is to travel. And his testimony, unrebutted, is that the line that's superimposed on the virtual rendering of the endoscope view, it's a 3D line that's continuously updated based on position and orientation, that provides a directionality because the operator can look through that screen, see where they are with respect to that continuously updated line, and steer along that path to get to the target. The problem that the 601 patent sought to solve is what happens when an operator gets disoriented and they're within the lung or the body. They can't see, they lose where they're at. They know that they need to get to some deep spot, but they are turned around, maybe they're looped around. This is also in the background of the patent. How do they know where to go?
Well, in that situation, why couldn't they just rely on the arrows of Ganatra in order to become oriented?
That's a great question, Aaron. And it's because the arrows in Ganatra do not know where the location of the endoscope is. Those arrows of Ganatra are simply sequencing guidance prepared in advance to say,
They're prepared in the registration process, but that doesn't mean they can't be later used.
Nothing in Ganatra explains determining the system guiding the operator. The entire premise of Ganatra is grounded upon the operator knowing where they are. The operator says, system, I'm here. Can you remind me of the sequence I need to traverse? The problem the 601 patent sought to solve is what happens when the operator does get turned around and what happens when they do not know where they're at and they need the system then to guide, to provide that guidance. And that's what Ganatra does not do. It simply provides the dot, and that's what Soper does not do. And I see that I'm in my rebuttal time, Your Honors.
Okay, do you want to save it?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Fukuda?
Good morning, Judge Dyke, Judge Prost, Judge Reyna, Ching Lee Fukuda from Sidley Austin on behalf of Oris. I'd like to address first the appellant's arguments regarding Arendi. And as your honors have heard, there is no missing element. This is not a missing element analysis. And in fact, in this court's precedent that was just issued yesterday, for which we submitted a 28-J letter in the Fleming versus Sears Design Corp case, this court made clear that you can have a combination of references, two references, that together disclose limitations. And that is exactly what the board relied on here for its decision. The board relied on the combination of Ganatra and Soper to show that this guidance limitation was rendered obvious by the prior art. So, and the board goes through more than substantial evidence and analysis and reason explanation to show what Ganatra shows, which is that arrows are used to steer an endoscope through the lung during the registration process. Ganatra also says there's a subsequent navigation step.
Well, what about the argument that you can't do that? You can't use Ganatra's arrows for guidance because they're formed during the registration process.
Ganatra, and the board considered this, Your Honor, Ganatra actually said you can, after the registration step, when you get to navigation, in which you're using the same step, Ganatra says other types of visual indicators can be used to get to the target location. And for that other type of visual indications, you would look to a reference like Soper, which is analogous art. It's trying to also steer an endoscope. And Soper is the reference that shows that line, right, that shows the entire path from where the endoscope is all the way to where the target site is. So when you combine these two things together, you have all of the limitations at issue here. You have steering, you have arrows, you have an entire path that goes all the way to the target site. And this is the board's analysis. This analysis was conducted over about 12, 13 pages of analysis supported with detailed citations to expert declarations. Dr. Hannaford's declaration with multiple paragraphs directed to this analysis, and also citations to Dr. Cleary's analysis. And Dr. Cleary is Intuitive's expert. So there are points where both experts agreed that the arrows disclosed in Ganatra are helpful in pointing the user and the endoscope in the direction it ought to go. So it is a very small step from that point to then say that in order to guide this endoscope all the way to the target site, you can use arrows as well as a visual indicator to guide you. And Your Honor, so this is not a missing limitation situation. We are, what the board did is in full compliance with the Arendi precedent.
And just taking you down a little to the weeds, there's some back and forth in the briefing about this use of the word limitation and elements. And you take issue, I believe, in red with arguing that the other side's parsing of this claim versus this limitation versus element thing doesn't make any sense. Can you just talk to us a little about that distinction, if it exists between elements and limitation that we're talking about in this case?
Yes, Your Honor. This is not a dispositive issue because given the court's precedent in Fleming and Clasco and so forth, in either situation, what the board found does not fall within Arendi. However, there is case law. I believe Corning Glass is one of them, points out the fact that you could have an element that comprises multiple limitations. So I believe what appellants try to do is to group all of those limitations together and say you have to find basically that there is a single piece of prior art that discloses all of these limitations in the guidance element.
In other words, okay, so there's an element and then the limitations within that element.
Correct, Your Honor. And what Fleming and Clasco and other precedents of this court had said was you don't need to break it up that finely. You can find that two pieces of art combined with the right motivation can disclose all of the limitations of that element. So this is not a missing element situation. This is your classic KSR situation where you can use common sense and even ordinary creativity of a person of ordinary skill in the art to show that this limitation is found in the combination of prior art with motivation. And just to address, even under appellant's argument that even if there is a missing element issue here, what the board did and was a detailed analysis. It's accompanied by a reasoned explanation. And the only thing that Arendi asks this court to do is to do a searching review to identify whether the board had done that reasoned analysis. And the answer is yes, given all of the analysis that's been in front of the board and cited to. So, Your Honor, would you like me to address the secondary consideration point?
You can do that for a moment.
Okay. What's important on the secondary consideration point is that the evidence that's put forward by Dr. Duindam's declaration legally is deficient in terms of making a showing of nexus.
Yeah, but there's a little confusion on how the board handled this, right? Because we've got this two-step thing about a presumption of nexus, and we have a lot more cases that deal with this presumption question, I think, than the actual direct nexus. This wasn't a presumption question, right? The board didn't rely on a presumption of nexus. It went to direct nexus. But they do use some of the discussions that is in our case law for presumption. All this coextensiveness, my recollection is, that all deals with when you're establishing whether there's a presumption. And so I thought it was a little confusing here because we weren't talking about a presumption, but there was still reference to coextensiveness and that sort of thing. Am I right?
That is correct.
What I'm getting at?
That is correct, Your Honor. The board did conclude that the presumption of nexus does not apply here because there is no coextensiveness with the claims. However, the board then moved on and did further analysis. The board then looked at whether there was actual a showing by the patent holder that nexus was proven, that directly connected the evidence, the secondary consideration evidence, to the novel elements or novel features of the claim. So then the board went on to do that exact analysis that is at issue here. And here is where Dr. Duindam's declaration fails, because what Dr. Duindam's declaration says is he compares two embodiments, both of which are covered by these claims. He said continuous guidance is better than intermittent guidance. Now, the board already found that both of those embodiments are encompassed within the claims. And under this court's precedent on under Theracense, In Re Cal, that the court has made it clear that when you make a showing that some embodiments show the benefit of the invention, but other embodiments do not, that fails to show nexus as a matter of law. Because that particular showing demonstrates that your evidence is not commensurate with the scope of the invention.
Did you have your own expert here, or did you just provide legal argument as to why their arguments on nexus failed?
Your Honor, because their argument is legally deficient, we rebutted that based on the law. And the law is clear that Theracense makes clear that if the problem that's being solved, as they claim by the embodiment, is not really a requirement of the claims. So in Theracense, there was a short fill problem that was being solved supposedly by the embodiment. However, the court found that in Theracense, the claims were broad enough to cover short fill being solved as a problem and short fill not being solved by an embodiment. And therefore, by identifying the short fill solution, that is not commensurate with the scope of the claim, and therefore it is legally deficient. And that's exactly what Intuitive has done in this case. All they've done is to point out that there may be one embodiment covered by the claim that's superior to another embodiment covered by the claim. There's no adequate showing that all of there's adequate evidence that all of the evidence would in fact lead to the benefit of the claimed invention. And that's what's required, Your Honors.
Okay. And anything further?
Nope, I am happy to see the rest of my time.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you, Your Honors. This was not a presumption case. This was an evidence on secondary considerations of direct. We relied on the direct connection, and we had unrebutted testimony from the inventor explaining how the ion falls within the scope of the claims. And under In Re Cal, that's sufficient. It's clear you do not have to market and sell a product that satisfies every single embodiment. And in the face of that, Oris came forward with no other evidence. It's simply attorney argument to respond to that. This directionality feature, and there was a reference to the statement about whether or not the entire success was attributed to continuous. That statement is taken out of context. What he's talking about is how the 3D line, because it is continuously updated in the ion system based on the position and the orientation, how that line can provide directionality when a static line, such as the one in SOPR, cannot because it is static and fixed. And so if there's no further questions, Your Honor, I'll briefly conclude. Both Arendi, this court's holding in Arendi, and secondary considerations both serve to guard against hindsight bias when conducting an obviousness analysis. Even when Ganatra and Soper are combined, there is still no reference of those two that provides steering guidance to a target location in a patient anatomy. And here the following are undisputed. 601 patent sought to solve this problem of operator disorientation, and that the navigation guidance at issue here claimed was added during prosecution to distinguish over the prior art, and the examiner then held it distinctive. And we've got the unrebutted testimony from Dr. Dwindam. And yet the board concluded that the invention described and claimed by Intuitive more than a decade ago would simply be a matter of common sense and reasonable to infer, and that it should never have issued. Thank you,
Mr. Schroeder. Thank you, Mr. Potter. The case is submitted.